be with you.
God bless you, Brother Robert.
Brother Robert Turner.
Thank you, Brother Johnson. I enjoyed that immensely. Made me think, and I think that's part of our job is to stir up. I was thinking how frail we are and how marvelous our God is. I was thinking how God has taken care and made a way and really didn't leave us out, but he's taken care of it all. And I often wonder how we, God's children, and I say that with, I believe that when you call on the name of Jesus, and I believe when you have hope, and I believe when you have faith, to me that's a pretty good indication that you're one of his children. And I believe that if you read God's word and study God's word is a pretty good indication, because this word has something for us and not them. So I was wondering about it, and I often wonder about it, how when, you know, you realize that maybe there's a good chance that I might be a child of God, that maybe I understand a little bit about what's going on, and maybe I, you know, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be easy. I could probably testify to everybody in here about when they really joined the church. How at that moment in time in your life when you joined that church, it was the most wonderful thing in the world. I remember when I was baptized, I couldn't wait to get to the water. And you have this illusion that everything is going to be perfect now. You know, because you see things in a different light. You understand things in a different light. And you start realizing, hey, this God, you know, take care of everything. You know, what I've got to do, my part is real simple. Believing in him. You know, so, you know, how simple is life then, you know, when you go, my part is believing, his part is everything else. The salvation, the grace, everything is of God. But then you realize quickly after the water runs off your back and you get out of the water, something's changed, you know. Well, you know, I'm amazed sometimes and we get downtrodden. And we get to the point in life that we just wonder, you know. You wonder, you know, how can I continue on, you know. You know, Lord, I believe. Now help my unbelief, you know. Because we have an enemy. We have one that wants to torment. We have one that wants to lure you away from the Father in heaven. We have one that takes away all that tries to take away all the pleasure that you felt when you went in the water. All the goodness that you felt when you went in the water, you know. Everything's going to be perfect. And I just said, you know, Lord, you know, help me through this. Well, David. You take David. And I love reading the Psalms of David because, to me, David's Psalms are an emotional roller coaster. You can go and see David standing on that mountain top, you know, praising the Lord. The next thing you know, he's down in the valley wondering, why me, Lord? You know, is that the way your life is? Well, it's the way mine is. I know sometimes I couldn't be shaken. I'm on top of the mountain and I'm up there. And there's not a point, you know, and it don't take long for you to get right down in the valley. And I told somebody asked me that question. You know, why does the Lord let you get on the mountain, you know, and not keep you there? I said, because if you stayed on top of the mountain all your life, you would not realize the majesty of God. Because the lows in your life and the highs in your life makes you really realize who is and who is most powerful and who is taking care of things. So I was reading along, and we'll start off in David in Psalms 37, and then I'm thinking about this land today that we live in. I'm thinking about how what we're all, everyone, I'm not going to talk politics. I'm not really going to talk politics. It doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on or which side you're on. But there's so much going on in this land today, from homosexuality to abortion and all this stuff is going on, and it really worries me, you know, that I'm in this situation because, you know, should I stand on the fence? Or should I follow God? Or what should I do, you know? So you worry, you know, about where to... Well, David right here in Psalm 37, he gives us some advice. He gives us hope. And what we really shows you where we need to be in our life today. First, let's start off. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be envious against work of iniquity. For thou shalt soon be cut down like the grass, whether a green herb. Trust in the Lord. Do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know, that's where we need to look at. We need to forget about all that's going on. Although it's all about us, it's hard to forget about it. But what we need to do in our time of this country, in our life, where we live in this land that the Lord has blessed with, we need to set ourselves and we need to concentrate on the Father in heaven. We need to concentrate on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Those are the things we need to be concentrated on. And we don't need to worry about what's going on in man's world. Because I'm telling you right now, it is God's world. It's not man's world. And man will not rule this planet. God will rule this planet. And there's places in the Bible over in Isaiah. He said, you know, I will be God and you will be my people. And that's the exact words of God. So if God says, I will be your God, and you will be my people, so why do I need to fret? Why do I need to worry? Why do I need to even take a stand? What stand I need to take is just like Joshua, you said, I need to stand with God. I need to stand on His principles. I need to stand on His statutes. I need to take hold of His covenants. Those are the things that I need to concentrate on. And I don't need to worry about what's going on down the road down there. What I need to be worried about, what you need to be worried about, is the Father in heaven. I'm not talking about it in a negative there. I need you to spend your energy and your time and your efforts looking to God. Looking unto Him. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thy heart. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cut forward right there. Yeah. If you will take your time and look unto God and realize that He knows what's best for you. And as you were saying, Brother Jonathan, we make these deals all the time. You know, we like to say we don't deal, but we do deal. You know, because we're human, we're Adam by nature, we're weak, and we do try to deal. But God, we need to worry about what God has laid out for us. And because I can tell you right now, He's an exact God. Yep. There ain't no dealing. There ain't no card playing with God. It's exactly what God said it's going to be. And God said it will come exactly what I said it will do. So, I mean, that takes a lot of dark mysteries out of life when we start realizing that what God said is going to take place. So we need to look about that and see what God said. You know, He said, as Jesus Christ said, I will return. Yes. So He is coming back. That's absolutely Amen. True. Amen. When is He going to come back? I believe the Bible doesn't tell us when He's going to come back. It says, no man. Well, you have these people on TV that'll tell you the day and the time, the hour, you know. Or not only that, they'll tell you these are the things you need to be looking for. You know, this needs to happen. This needs to happen. Then Jesus returned. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the only looking forward we need to be doing is looking forward to God. Yeah. And realizing that it's all in His hands. Yeah. You know, David said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently on Him. I mean, he's telling us what we need to do. We need to take time out of our life and rest in the Lord. And patiently wait. You know, that's another problem that we have today. We're the microwave people now. You know, we got to have everything right now. You know, we can't wait 5 minutes on nothing, you know. I'm ready, you know. Lord, come on, let's get it on with. I'm ready to go. But don't you realize it's in God's time, in God's movement. It's in God's hand. You know, so you can be microwave if you want to be, but when God said it's time, it's time. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because when Jesus Christ was walking on the earth and it wasn't time, they couldn't stone Him. They couldn't catch Him. They couldn't do anything with Him. But when the time was right, God's time, they got Jesus. You know, and they like to think that they got Him because, you know, they went hook a crook, you know, pay some guy, show up. It was the time that God had set up for Christ to go. Christ Himself, He said, I must go away. He knew exactly. You know, He knew His time was there. So you know what? We need to quit worrying about the future.
We need to be worried about what's going to take place. What we need to worry about, and I'm using this word worry. And Elder Roundtree told me one time, if I can find worry in the Bible, he'd buy me a steak dinner. You know, so I told him, well, I'm going to go look and see if I can find it, you know. We don't need to worry about nothing. What we need to do is know what we know we need to be doing. We need to follow God, look under to God, and take care of God's business He's laid out for us to do, realizing that He is in control. He is our God. He is our leader. He is the one that has it under control. And He is the one that will set aside the timetable. So we need to wait patiently on Him. We need to look to Him. And you know what we need to do? We need to enjoy our time here now. Because it is a gift of God. It is rest in the Lord. He said, for evildoers shall be cut down. For those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. My. Isn't that wonderful? You know, so you know, we know, we all know, every one of you here know what's going on in this country. Everybody knows what's happening with the Supreme Court. Everybody knows what's going on. You know, but you know, big deal. We're going to inherit the land. It's going to be ours. And they can pound on it, do whatever they want, you know. They don't understand. People today have forgotten God. I watched one of them say that we don't have our problem. We have a sin problem in this country. One of those candidates who run in said, we have a sin problem in this country today. No, we don't have a sin problem. What we have is a lack of knowledge of God problem. Because God is not being taught to our children, their children, and our government is doing everything they can to eradicate the name of God. They're doing everything they can to take the Ten Commandments. You know, at first I used to think, what does it matter? You know, the Ten Commandments. When God has laid those commandments out, you know, because I need the Ten Commandments. I need to read the Ten Commandments. I need to look at the Ten Commandments. I need to feel the Ten. But you know what what God told me? He said, I, God, will write them in your heart. Right there. Right there. So if they want to take them down, go ahead, because they can't erase them from my heart. Because the one who is in charge is going to write it there. So the wicked plot against the just. He said, you know, we see that everywhere. David here had a good understanding of what was going on. He knew. He knew. Let's look at verse 16. A little that a righteous man have is better than the riches of the many. You know, what we have. And I'm going to tell you, what we have, this little congregation right here, we are wealthy beyond no matter, there's no way to measure what we have, because we have something. We have a belief, a knowledge, and an understanding of an Almighty God. And you know what? We ain't got enough money to buy it. It's ours. What's amazing about it, it was given to you by Him Himself, and He calls you out, and He did it. You know, it's not what Brother Gary's been doing. Gary, you know, it's not what I've been doing. It's all what God has done. Amen. You know, so the world today doesn't understand that. There are so many going about trying to build their own little castle or their own little kingdom, you know, not giving God the credit. But I'm going to tell you right now, if one person understands who God is, by God calling them out, we are blessed by no end. Amen. And to have an understanding of who Christ is and what took place on Calvary, how wonderful that is. Amen. And realizing also that every sin, everything, every evil thought that I have, and I know y'all don't have them, because, you know, they just come to me out of nowhere. I could be driving down the highway and look around, where did that come from? You know, and I'm trying my best. But I have an enemy. I have an enemy. I tell people this all the time. I said, you know what's amazing about your enemy? He's been tried, he's been convicted, he's been sentenced. The only thing that's left to that enemy is the lake of fire. So, not only that, God has given you the strength to deny it. The enemy. Christ says it's real easy. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know? So you have that power. Because you have Jesus in you. It says the arms of the wicked shall be broken off, but the Lord upholds righteousness. You know, how wonderful it is when you start realizing who is on our side. Who is leading us? Who is taking care of us? You know, we like to think that, you know, we take care of our family, but we have one that's more, you know, the God in heaven. You know, the world doesn't understand that. Over in, I believe it's in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it says, the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. But we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the words of God distinctly, but manifestation of the truth, coming to ourselves, to every man's conscience in the sight of. But if our gospel be hid, it be hid from them that are lost. What he's talking, you know, if they don't understand it, they're lost. That doesn't mean they're not a child of God. Don't get that wrong. The Lord has blessed you with understanding. The Lord has blessed you with this simple little bit of truth that they don't get. You know, it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. You know, is that not, you know, that was the image that you were talking about, brother. The image of God.
That's right.
That connection that's made between heaven and hell. That it may shine, you know. That's the image that you're talking about. That's what we see, you know. And I tell people, you know, we go about all the time. I said, we preach Jesus. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servant, for Jesus' sake. For God has commanded to let light shine out of the darkness and shineth in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we need to profess our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, that's our all in all. Without this knowledge of Jesus Christ, that connection that you're talking about, brother, that spot between earth and that connection, Jesus Christ, you know, just shines about all about us. You know, the world doesn't understand the connection. You know, we have this treasure in earthly vessels that actually a power that would be of God and not of us. But then it goes here a little bit further. This is where I wanted to get to. We are troubled every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always buried about the body of the dying of Jesus, that the life of also of Jesus may be manifest in our body. If that is not wonderful, I don't know what is. When we start realizing, yes, we are cast down. Yes, we are, but we're not destroyed. You know, we think, we worry or look about what's going on, and we really get distressed about this country. But I will tell you right now, they're not going to destroy us. They're going to have their moment in time. But as David said, they're going to be cut down like the grass. And they're going to wither away. You know, it's just amazing to be for which we... For we which are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal flesh. I mean, what more can we say here? What more can I say? That through Jesus, by Jesus, of Jesus, we're going to live on. I mean, that connection. There is their connection. He is our connection. He is our light. He is the living water. He is the rock. He is the fortress. He's everything that we need. And we need nothing else. And what we have is all due to Him.
Amen.
We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak.
Right.
So there's a commandment right there. We believe, we need to speak. We need to tell the world what we believe. They're not going to hear you. They're not going to hear you. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, we talk about grace, and we talk about it, and I have people tell me all the time, oh yeah, I believe in grace, you know, but you got to, you know, the grace that I'm talking about is unmerited. It came from above, and by the grace of God, we see. And we understand. And we feel something. How wonderful it would be when
the entire world to see what we feel. But their eyes are not opened. And there's only one that can open it. That's God Himself. How wonderful it is. So I think many times when I go about and I'm in the why me mode, you know, why me mode. I get in the why me mode. You know, there's a lot of things you get in the why me mode about, you know. The congregation's got smaller, you know, why do I need to keep going? You know, nobody wants to come, you know, why do I, you know, why me? It ain't about you. It's about Him. And as long as we're making it about Him, we're going to keep right on trudging along. Because there ain't no us in Him. It's all about Him and us. So we're going to keep on. We're going to keep looking to Him. We're going to be cast down, but we're not going to be destroyed. You know, we're going to be perplexed. You know, we're going to be scratching our heads sometimes. We don't, you know, who are we to know the mind of God? You know, who are we? There are men that think they know the mind of God, but who are we?
Yep.
We are His servant. Amen. And when we get down to be His servant, we can start seeing Him in the fullness of who He is. Thank Amen. You for your kind attention.
Amen. Sing verse 2 and number 10.
It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.